escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The wait is finally over. Ready or Not is available now on consoles. Become an elite SWAT commander and feel the weight of the badge. The immersive cult classic is now on its way to more players than ever before. Coming this summer for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series XS. Get ready for 18 high-stakes missions, solo or with up to 5 players in co-op. Clear rooms, protect civilians, make split-second calls, and join the tactical shooter community. With countless ways to set up your loadouts and gear, no mission is the same. And with full crossplay, your team can suit up no matter what system they're on. So, if you're into tactical gameplay and intense high-stakes action, Ready or Not is the must-play tax shooter this summer. Available now on PlayStation, Xbox, and PC.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Congratulations, you're getting married.
Yeah, big time. Moving up in the world, doing big things. It was a good all-star break.
What are you willing to share with the listeners? Was there pure surprise? Was there, like, what was your process for you know, asking your girl to marry you?
Yeah, it was close to our place in San Francisco, down by the water. So that part was by ourselves. Then we came back home, and that was where the real surprise was, as far as just how many people were able to be there from around the country. We had about 25, 30 people up on our rooftop and able to celebrate in a really great way.
Wow, that's awesome. So you had a surprise gathering that she didn't know about. Well done, sir. Long time in the planning?
Yeah, a couple months. You know, that's why I kind of tanked towards the all-star break, make sure that stayed out of Atlanta and keep the plans intact, you know.
I think you made the right choice.
Oh my god.
Did you cry and did she cry?
Oh, of course. There's good tears all around. You know, we've been together for almost 10 years since freshman year of college, so long time coming. Maybe no surprise to close people to us, but still amazing to kind of enter this next chapter.
What were you scared? Like, you guys have been together for a decade, so she's probably not going to say no, but was there ever a moment where you're like, she might say no or not yet? How were you scared?
You know, our communication is pretty solid to where I felt good on that end. The nerves is more on the logistics side, just including you know, people from around the country and keeping things a secret and food and drinks and logistics and all the above. And but sometimes when you're doing that much, it can be, things kind of fly by, you're not present for it. So I was really glad that just how much we were able to enjoy it all.
Who almost messed it up, Nico?
You know, it was pretty smooth all around. You know, I think I was later told by her that the pace of my walking was a little faster than normal as we were heading down there. I'm real slow out in the world. I move pretty slow through things. Not always that way on a baseball field, but definitely in the day to day. So I think she sensed something was up just by my pace. But yeah, hard to fool people that know you well.
Such a good joke by you about tanking before the All-Star break to make sure that you don't have to go to Atlanta. Because all I'm thinking about, Lawrence, our last time talking to Nico before the break was like, hey, you could still make the team. I mean, would you go if and your
little did we know.
I know your answer was like, well, yeah, I think I'd make the All-Star game my focus. Meanwhile, you're kind of hoping at that point. Well, let's go ahead and get through with this. Right.
No, it would have been a very good problem to have to move that party to another time. Obviously, good things all around.
What did the guys say that went to the All-Star game? How did they feel about it?
It was fast and chaotic, but just an incredible thing to be a part of. And I think the thing I've heard most consistently from guys is just sharing a locker room with all those people is really cool, even if it's brief. And you know, whether it's your first time or your fifth or whatever it is, just having all the game's best in one place is really quite a showcase for the sport. And just I imagine is an amazing thing to experience.
Nico, did you think at this point in your career you would be hitting against a pitcher old enough to be your dad?
It's Rich Hill tomorrow. He's 45, or tonight, I should say. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, testament to him. And just in a sport that's gotten increasingly hard to stick around for players after they even turn, you know, 31, 32. He's, you know, still doing it and getting guys out, and you know, features a mix that's stayed consistent throughout his career. Obviously, kind of knows himself, I imagine, really, really well. And you know, it's not by chance that he's found his way back to the big leagues.
There's a little video of Mick Jagger when he was 28 with the Rolling Stones, saying, "If you think we're going to be doing this when we're 40." You are sadly, sadly mistaken.
Meanwhile,
those guys
are 80.
It's like, yeah. 80 and still rolling. So let's ask you, Nico Horner, at 45, if you have the opportunity to still be in the big leagues, do you think you'd be battling to stay in the big leagues?
I mean, that's, it really seems pretty impossible. I don't know. I mean, I'd like to think I have a family and stuff by then, and other things are pulling me away. I just, if I'm still able, 45 is just like beyond possibility, but yeah, who knows? I'm going to play as long as I'm able-bodied and a good version of myself, but yeah.
Hey, we'll see. Leadoff Nico is really exciting for us. I think it's just so freaking cool, especially that Saturday at Yankee Stadium where you tripled the lead off the game.
Yeah, that felt really good. That felt significant.
It did, right? I mean, because like, so why did that feel significant, and what does it feel like to have some success up there?
The Friday night game we played there was, you know, very one-sided loss, and just to go, you know, night to day game, right back to the field, be the first person in the batter's box for either team as a visiting team, and to, you know, hit a ball hard off of, you know, obviously an incredible pitcher, Max Fried, and start us off, get a run, get going. And then obviously we had a lot of great at bats after that, but kind of break the seal a little bit. It felt amazing.
It is being a leadoff guy exciting for you? What's the feeling?
Yeah, just the opportunity to impact the game, impact winning. You know, the first inning is a leverage inning. That's why you know, you see the openers and you see an emphasis on the first inning. You know, it's the top of the order. It's who scores first. It's dictating momentum. And to be in the middle of all that and have a chance to be on base for the big bats in our order and all that is very exciting.
So do you change as a hitter, at least for that first at bat? What's your internal dialogue like?
It does feel different, I think, especially when you're the visiting team. Just like, sometimes it feels different having already been out in the field and then coming back to hit like we do at home. But yeah, I mean, there's certain times when you kind of go back and forth on swinging on the first pitch of the game. And but no, not too much. I mean, there's definitely no like message from counsel or anything about, you know, what he wants from me in that spot. He just wants us to do the best version of ourselves and roll it out there with confidence, and it's kind of all you can do.
It can be a heavy thing to have the roles change and have people have to step up. You and Michael Bush both doing that, and then Ian having to adjust. Seems like Ian's taking it well and being a good teammate and responding well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was never going to be an issue with him as far as handling things like a pro. And, you know, first things first, he just wants to, you know, be the best version of himself and continue to hit the ball hard. He's had a pretty tough stretch of batted ball luck the last, you know, 6 weeks or so. And, you know, no one's worried about him. We all know he's been as strong-minded as anyone when it comes to, like, going through challenges personally and then coming out on the other side of them even better than he was before. I think you've seen him do that many, many times in his career. So excited for his second half.
What so you said first inning's a leverage inning. Maybe this is obvious, but what are the other leverage innings, if there are some?
I mean, I imagine the ninth in a close game. And then I guess just other times when the top of the order is coming up, I think sometimes you see, you know, higher, instead of it being like, this is your seventh inning, eighth inning, ninth inning guys, you know, maybe that eighth inning guy throws in the sixth if it matches up well with, you know, Bobby Witt and Salvador Perez or whatever it is. I think that's kind of where I'm coming from with that.
I got you. I thought maybe you were talking about like maybe the fifth or the sixth when the starter is a little tired or they're about to go to that first guy, like maybe the sixth these days, you know?
Yeah, no, you're totally right. Like that, there's some innings that really feel like opportunity missed too. Like when you have a starter right on the, you know, the verge and they kind of choose to leave him out there and he feels vulnerable and you aren't able to score, kind of things like that, that I don't feel like all innings are created equal. Yeah.
Nico, you guys have been playing pretty good baseball for the last few weeks. And for a minute, you guys had the best record in the National League. And then poof, you look up today and here are the Milwaukee Brewers in first place. I know that you guys aren't really scoreboard watching, and it's probably too early even for fans to be doing that. But I'd love to know what your mindset is like when you're like, you guys have been in control for the most part of this division, and now all of a sudden, here these guys are on an incredible win streak.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, I mean, I think the best way to see it is just as an awesome opportunity, and that, you know, credit to them for playing well and putting themselves in a strong spot. But we've got, you know, however many games left and plenty of games against each other to just see who the better team is. And that's why it takes 162. And, you know, I don't think there's any regrets on our end of how we've played so far, of how we've handled things. There's things we can do better. And I think the feeling is that it's in our control as far as, you know, our destiny in the division, given that we play them a lot and there's a lot of baseball left. So, you know, that's why it's a special thing to go to the playoffs to win a division. And we haven't done it in a while. So it's definitely something to be earned.
You know, there've been times where we might look at the Brewers and say, oh man, they play cleaner, faster, better, even though the other team has more power. I don't know that that's true this year. Like, I feel like you guys play clean and athletic and fast and smart. Like, do you feel like you play as well as they do, or as other teams like the Diamondbacks or other good teams out there? I feel like you guys measure up this time around.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we've talked about it a lot, but you know, the ability to win a variety of styles of games, I really think that's huge, not just relying on slug or strikeouts or you know, whatever it may be. And you know, I can speak more on our position player group, but just a really well-rounded group that I think the skill sets complement each other really well. And yeah, you mentioned the Diamondbacks and the Brewers and really athletic teams that have you know, had success in getting to the playoffs and also once they're there. So yeah, I think that's a huge deal. And it definitely has a different feeling about the group this year.
Nico, what's it like in the clubhouse this time of year? Because you guys have been through trade stuff before. There are a lot of names last year about guys who might be moved. So what's it like for veteran players? Because you know that your team might add something. How do you guys react to even the talk of your team making a move?
Yeah, I mean, it's not a secret, right? Like, I mean, I'm not up on every headline or things like that because, you know, those things really rarely dictate much. But, you know, I think we've earned a position to, you know, look into improving our roster to be the best version of ourselves to get to October and have success there. As far as internal discussions, like, yeah, there's always talks within players. Just, I think we're always kind of evaluating our team and what we can do better individually or ways we can improve. But, you know, ultimately it's up to the front office. I think one thing that people don't realize, I think sometimes, is that like talk of trade are adding players is also replacing players that are here. So, you know, the trade deadline may be in 10 days or whatever, but the reality is we have a lot of games between now and then with the group of people that we have here right now, which is kind of all that, that matters, because it's what you can control. And, you know, you got guys that are battling for playing time and roles, and people that have been here since the start of the year and worked incredibly hard. And so as far as like openly discussing how to improve the roster, you're also kind of talking about, you know, replacing guys that you really care about too. So it's a, it can be a sensitive thing.
Yeah, you don't want to blurt out, hey, we need some help at position X, and some dude's right there.
See,
you know?
I'm right here, man.
Right.
Yeah.
And they might be on the verge of some of the best ball they ever played, so you never know.
Well, you know, is there any smile that you've seen that's bigger than those Matt Shaw home run smiles? Like, over the weekend.
That, that swing yesterday was something special. That ball scared me because it was trying to go foul. but... yeah, like the he's just handled everything so well this year, and like the confidence internally from just our guys and everything, and like the kind of career he's going to have, and I think a lot of that confidence comes from just like the personality that he's put forth and the way that he's handled challenges this year, and just really impressed by him, and he's had some really great swings lately, and the defense he's played has just been ridiculous for a guy that hasn't played much third base. That's a really hard position, and it's been fun to watch.
Nico, obviously at Wrigley, every weekend kind of feels big. Like it's a it's an emotional amplifier of a ballpark. Yeah. This weekend felt different to me. I was there on Friday, so was Spiegs, and so was our EP Alex. And does it feel different to you? There's, what, 120,000 people over the three games that showed up to watch you guys versus the Red Sox. Can you guys even feel that, or is that us imagining stuff?
No, no, that's very real. I felt it most on Saturday. I think they had the leadoff double against Shota and, you know, runner on third, less than two outs. And it, it felt like a seventh, eighth inning kind of situation in the top of the first, which – I was just kind of in the field like, whoa, this is different. This is exciting. And, you know, he struck a guy out and got out of the scoreless, and just a, you know, the beautiful summer night game, Red Sox in town. They're coming off of winning a bunch of games in a row. They've got a great team, great energy coming off the break. Just like it was very much a real feeling I had. Yeah, it was really special. So yeah, that was the game that Bush and, Tuck hit homers to start the game. Yeah, the whole thing was just like kind of cinema. So it was incredible. Yeah,
that's really cool that you felt that, because it was obvious all weekend around that place, man. It's like two heritage franchises having a love affair with their fans again. You know?
Yeah. No, it's how it's supposed to be, and it's I think it's something that should be earned from teams. Like, I don't think it should be assumed that Wrigley is always like that. I think it. You know, I appreciate that we have fans that show up no matter what, but it should be based on a team that wins, a team that does it in exciting fashion, that has personalities the fans like. And I think that you can't do that overnight, but I think the fans appreciate that there is some really cool stuff going on this year.
So we've been doing some metrics, Nico.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we haven't. We have to give credit. Chris Tannehill has created pizzagraphs.com.
Yeah. And he's got sound too. He listens to the broadcast and he pulls stuff like when Boog and JD talk about your pizza.
By the way, Nico Horner, I think it's Rinaldi's. He's got his own pizza. It has pineapple on it. Just a note. In the air, left field, playable for Castro.
It's a Cali thing.
A Cali thing. That seems like a dismissive tone from Jim Deshays. About the pineapple, your thoughts, Nico?
Yeah, JD seems like a tavern style cheese. Give me a beer on the side and hang out. I don't know.
That's right. I'll eat.
That's all right.
Yeah, that's all right.
Boog's a New York guy, so I'm sure he's got his deeply rooted pizza bagels opinions, which are usually correct. They do it really well.
But you know me, man. I'm team pineapple. I'm with you 100%. Yeah. And here's the thing.
I'm not going to judge you if you aren't. It's just I like it. So there you go.
The public is team pineapple. This is this is fun with numbers. pizzas sold since the 20th of June.
I mean, honestly, that's like kind of just fun with numbers.
That's right, Craig. We're having fun with numbers for Nico. Danny Parkins has sold 245 pizzas since June 20th. Nico Horner, 659 pizzas. You're up. You are 414 pizzas ahead of Danny since the 20th of June. Your thoughts?
Yeah, maybe a little, you know, early excitement, recency bias. I want to know the return customers. That's what I'm really caring about. You've had it once. Do you order it again? I'd love stats on that if that's possible. That's getting pretty deep analytics for pizza, but
that's why we started pizzagraphs.com for stuff just like that.
It
feels really good.
Once the league sees you once you get around the league one time and then the adjustments come, that's when you really gotta step up.
Exactly.
It's that,
it's a production league, so we're good.
That's the third time around the order, that pizza. So the third time that it's ordered, that's when we'll really know that we're on to something with Nico.
Hey, man, we got to ask you, Ryan Sandberg's jersey all over Wrigley this weekend. I'm sure you've heard about his health update that he offered. You see Kerry Wood there, and you see John Lester wearing his jersey. And it's, I mean, you... What has it meant to you so far as a Cub to have Rhino in your life and in your baseball life and get to really think about him as a player and get to know him as a dude?
Yeah, I think what's so cool about the time that he spends around here is that it's never about him, even though it totally could be and would deservedly be so. It's like he's genuinely just like interested in seeing how we're training, what we're thinking about, like what things are still similar, what's changed. Just being on the field, being in the sunshine, like just like the classic baseball stuff. You can tell he just misses being a ball player out there. And my favorite moment with him that I've had was I just mentioned in passing one time that, you know, I'd love to see his glove, one of his gloves, you know. And he showed up at spring training like months later and he had two of his gloves. It was the 84 season and 89. He had like a little Sharpie on it, 84 and 89, and they were worn out in like the same exact way in the palm, and had, you know, the gold label on the wrist, and just cool that he had kept them and kept them in great shape and wanted to share and had remembered and took the initiative to share that with me. So yeah, he's an absolute baseball legend, and thinking of him a lot.
Cool.
Beautiful as always. Nico, thank you so much. Good luck tonight, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Thank you.
All right, man. What should we wear to the wedding, by the way? When is it, and what should we wear?
Wear white.
Okay. All right, good. Just wanted to check. Thank you.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The wait is finally over. Ready or Not is available now on consoles. Become an elite SWAT commander and feel the weight of the badge. The immersive cult classic is now on its way to more players than ever before. Coming this summer for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series XS. Get ready for 18 high-stakes missions, solo or with up to 5 players in co-op. Clear rooms, protect civilians, make split-second calls, and join the tactical shooter community. With countless ways to set up your loadouts and gear, no mission is the same. And with full crossplay, your team can suit up no matter what system they're on. So, if you're into tactical gameplay and intense high-stakes action, Ready or Not is the must-play tax shooter this summer. Available now on PlayStation, Xbox, and PC.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
He did a really good job today mixing. He has a bunch of different pitches. He threw a lot of different pitches today. He pitched a good game today.
His challenge is just he's got a very expansive pitch mix, and you never really feel like you can sit on anything. And he pitched well. Did a nice job.
That was Matt Shaw and Craig Counsell talking about yesterday's Royals starter, Seth Lugo. He has been a target of ours in our stalking segment here on Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score. And if that was an audition for Seth Lugo, he showed out. 6 innings, 4 hits, just 2 earned runs, 2 walks, and 6 strikeouts. And they're right. I felt like he was throwing a complement of pitches, different things than he threw in his first and second times through the order. You saw him get guys out with a curveball. That curveball was tight as well. You saw a slider really be effective for him. Of course, his fastball. And he retired 9 straight Cubs batters, 5 of them with strikeouts. Just an impressive performance. Unfortunately, it was for the opposing team.
Well, here's the thing about Seth Lugo. We know he's the AL Cy Young runner-up last year, right?
And pitched like it yesterday.
16-9 last year with a 3 ERA. He had a whip of 1.09. This year, 2.95 ERA, a whip of 1.09.
Huh.
He seems like he's very much on course to do what he did last year again. And I think that is something that any playoff team could use as far as their starters, except for maybe, I don't know, the Phillies or someone who's got, they already have like 4 guys that can do stuff.
Yeah, the Phillies are a rare team who doesn't need starting pitching. Russ and I talked about it on Monday when we did the Around the Major League Baseball segment. When I consider the complement of what he brings, and I'm still trying to figure out whether or not the Royals, who after that series have every reason to believe that they can still contend for a wild card, would they want to trade him, number one, and number two, with starts like that, the price is going up, especially when you see what he does to your team. I know you know that the Cubs, for you, you want the Cubs to get Seth Lugo. And I feel like if we saw that last night or yesterday afternoon, if we saw the Cubs see the way he performed, you're only asking for more and more based on what you're seeing throughout as he goes throughout this season.
I think one of the biggest things with Lugo specifically is yesterday at Wrigley Field was hitter condition plus.
Yes.
It was made for hitting. And he was like, all right, well, y'all aren't going to hit the ball in the air, so I'm not really worried about that. I think that's a real thing when you're talking about Wrigley Field and a lot of other ballparks as well. And if you throw ground balls and you have a great defense behind you, that makes sense. Now, I say that as other pitchers have kind of entered the fray in the idea that they could be sold. Mainly a guy that used to call Chicago home in Dylan Cease. And him entering the fray kind of changes the calculus about what you have at the top of your list, perhaps. Although he hasn't had the greatest year.
So Buster Olney yesterday said that that Dylan Cease was possibly up for being traded. And the Cubs were connected in that post that Buster Olney had. Well, earlier today on MLB Network, John Morosi talked about how A.J. Preller, and the quote is talking to everyone. The Padres are open-minded to buy and sell. I don't know how that doesn't mean Dylan Cease here.
Talking about pitching targets for the Cubs here on Rahimi and Harris, and yeah, Dylan Cease is that guy because he will be a free agent at the end of the season. He's had a great career so far. We, of course, know that he finished 4th and 2nd in Cy Young Award voting in a couple different seasons with the White Sox. One season with the White Sox, he finished 2nd. Last season with the Padres, he finished 4th in Cy Young voting. He's a guy who has swing and miss stuff. His strikeouts per 9, 11.4 this season.
The slider slides, as he likes to say.
And it's a situation where he's giving up way more home runs as far as per inning than he has in previous seasons. He's already given up 16 after giving up only 18, 19, and 16 in the 3 years prior. And we're just, what, 2/3 of the way through the season. So it's interesting because he hasn't had the best year, 3-10. His FIP, his fielding independent pitching, is 3.58, which isn't that out of tune with some of his previous seasons. And you would think on a team like the Cubs, who have the offense ready to go, he could really thrive.
Well, and he's a former Cubs farmhand. Like, he came up through the Cubs system. So the question is, of course, famously dealt in the Jose Quintana trade, is that somebody you want to try to get back? Do you still have the same faith in him? Do you think that your pitch lab for one of your own guys, even though the players involved in who got him are slightly different now in the front office, Jed Hoyer, of course, still the main character there, but how much do you want your former guy back? You know, is there any desire there, and does that change the price? John Heyman also said the Padres are listening on Dylan Cease, with the Yankees, Mets, Cubs, and Red Sox among teams believed to have checked in. You know the Yankees are willing to do deals to try to ensure their success, especially when they were scuffling the past month. The Mets, same thing. Red Sox, motivated to be buyers after that 10-game win streak we saw. Is that the case? So all of that said, like we've said with Seth Lugo, like we said with Sandy Alcantara, the price is going to be high, especially on teams where, like the Padres, they either still know they're contending for a wild card, or like the Royals, even though they're a little bit out of it, they have reason to believe that they can get in.
Yeah, it's interesting because I didn't think this late in the season, being below 500, you'd still be in the mix. But there are several teams who are literally right there as far as under five games away from a wild card spot. And let's be honest, anybody can get hot. We just saw it with the Blue Jays, right? Right before the break. Anyone can get hot and take off and you're good in this. But it's just a matter of how many teams do you have to leap over?
As the White Sox have taught me after their six-game road trip, hitting is contagious and hitting is fun. And usually that's how you can get there. It's when your starting pitching is rocking and your hitting is in a good place.
I'm just wondering if the Cubs are going to be the first team to strike, or if we're going to see other. I mean, it's a week away.
Nobody wants to set the market, I don't think, when this is so much in the favor of the seller. Like, I don't blame any single team for wanting to wait. And Jed Hoyer has said many times so far leading up to this point that he is willing to wait. We want to take this time to remind you that The Score is once again teaming up with the Cubs and Stand Up to Cancer for the 24-hour Cubs for a Cure Radiothon. It all starts at 10 a.m. next Thursday, July 31st, right here on 670 The Score with our friend Danny Parkins. He is hosting the Radiothon, which will feature inspiring stories and many donation incentives. Score listeners showed up in such a wonderful way last year. I can't wait to see what happens this year. 100% of the proceeds will benefit Brain Up for cancer research. And yes, Danny is coming in. So if you have questions for Danny, and I'm sure you do, you can at least text him about them. And we saw what happened last week on Spiegel and Holmes, I'm just saying. So there's that too. Questions have been asked of Danny Parkins.
We're going to have answers. Well, not us, but Danny will have answers.
And we get to talk to him about the Bears.
He's going to have some meatball takes. He's going to have a meatball. And yeah, it's trade deadline day too. Don't forget about that.
Yeah, but we know what Danny's, we know where Danny's heart is. It is with Bear. Is it not?
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The wait is finally over. Ready or Not is available now on consoles. Become an elite SWAT commander and feel the weight of the badge. The immersive cult classic is now on its way to more players than ever before. Coming this summer for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series XS. Get ready for 18 high-stakes missions, solo or with up to 5 players in co-op. Clear rooms, protect civilians, make split-second calls, and join the tactical shooter community. With countless ways to set up your loadouts and gear, no mission is the same. And with full crossplay,
your team can suit up no matter what system they're on. So, if you're into tactical gameplay and intense high-stakes action, Ready or Not is the must-play tax shooter this summer. Available now on PlayStation, Xbox, and PC.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What does he do well as a manager, you think?
He's great. I mean, it's like a player. It's like having another player who's calling shots. And I think that, you know, I say this a lot, that, you know, with all the analytics and, you know, the use of analytics and using of your just baseball knowledge is what your eyes see is. And, you know, they're trying for us, and we've had a lot of success in the bullpen and the pitching in general. And I think that they use these analytics to try and find these pockets that are going to be the best opportunity for success as us as pitchers.
That was Drew Pomerantz on with my partner on Hit and Run yesterday, as Spiegs was talking a little Cubs and out there hanging with Drew Pomerantz. This show was all over Wrigley Field this past weekend. That Alex and I were out there on Friday. You were too. You were in the stands on Friday.
Yeah, no, I was up at the press box for a little while, but yeah.
And then Tanny, he wasn't going. But the rest of us, we were.
Sorry, I get love when I'm not even there.
You do?
Yeah.
People like the opens.
You get love everywhere.
You better believe it.
Tanny's deserving of love.
Shout out to the Coomdaw for putting me over big time for that Cubs 100 thing. Oh, that was very nice of him.
That was the best.
It's top-notch stuff right there. Mm-hmm. And Alex was there, too. He got to see the disrespect that radio people get when they show up to the ballpark.
Yeah, poor Bruce. Poor Bruce. Now I understand when he said, like, we're lucky to have him out there. Mm-hmm. Now I get it. We are. He does the dirty work for us.
So when you guys were out there, and you, Lawrence, and you, Alex, had a chance to hang out in the dugout and be there with the skipper, did Bruce get the first question?
Well, the skipper is underground. They do that in the room. Oh, Jed was in the... But yes, and it's funny... Because everyone's sitting there, Craig comes in, had a big smile on his face, and it was like, everyone ready? And then he looked over to Bruce to ask the first question. Which
you guys know this because you have people like myself.
It's very important. So usually if I helicopter into a place, I will wait until beat reporters have asked pertinent questions about lineups or things of that nature. And then I ask Craig about what it's like to manage personality, something I thought that you would enjoy with his answer.
Craig, we spent a lot of time talking about some of the managerial stuff, like whether it's lineups or whatever. Like the managing people part, I think is fascinating. So how did you develop learning how to manage individuals, considering that you got 25 on the active roster and more in the minors and on rehab?
Well, a lot of it's through experience. I mean, when you take the job, you don't really have a ton of experience managing people, but you have experience with how baseball players think and the experiences they have all gone through, and a pretty good understanding of what their lives are like. And then, you know, you have as a player, you have people that you watched and coaches that you watched and managers that you watched. You have friends that have done the job, like Pat Murphy, who have taught you a lot. And so you just, that combination of all those experiences, then you try to put the best foot forward for each person that you're around. And a lot of it too is you have to be yourself doing it. So you have to take your good parts and bad parts and know those are going to come out when you manage those people or help those people or coach those people. And you put that all together and, you know, that's what the people part of the job is. And so it's an important part of the job for sure, and it's a fun part of the job, very fun part of the job. It's the story that's not talked about a lot, but some of the most rewarding stuff happens in that part of the job.
Man, that's great because just knowing the people and knowing yourself, the good parts and the bad parts of yourself, demanding that level of self-awareness from yourself. Whoo, boy. And because that can be tough. I have known of some managers, very specific ones with very high levels of success in this town, who have not been able to be self-critical. And it ended up costing them in terms of relationships and in terms of the amount of time they were able to keep the job. So counsel acknowledging that, it's a great answer.
It's an evolution, I think, too. One, you hear a guy who's very thoughtful about that part of the job. Two, we romanticize the times of, well, the manager is he's in charge of the clubhouse and it takes on his personality, and that can be really good. There have been a lot of what we would call red ass managers that have been successful in creating a decent environment for players. It seems like to me, and I don't know what your read is on it, Speaks, but it seems like to me Craig really cares about this. It's not just this is the way that the Cubs do things. It's let's figure out how to best work with player X on what it is that they need to get better at. I know that managerial style isn't for everybody, but it gives you a window into why he's been so successful.
Oh, yeah, because it's individualized and there's a lot of different ways you can work with people. And he's got a lot of different facets of his personality that he can get to. I think the manager's job is to provide the right atmosphere where everybody can be self-critical, where everybody can. And it's like where everybody can look inward and be all right, where you can call out issues with each other and you can still be all right. And everybody can be like vulnerable and open and say, okay, yeah, well, I could do that better. All right, cool. And then you could just move on instead of getting caught up in all like the, you know, the personal drama and the feelings stuff that can get in the way. Got to cut through that stuff. And Craig likes to do that. He likes to have a good, well-functioning room.
He thinks about it. Like even the idea of thinking about it, to me, is significant. It's nice to know that if you're one of those players, that you have someone that's in your corner that's going to hear you out, that it isn't just going to be, this guy sucks, send him out of here, get me someone else. Hmm. Someone who understands what that's like.
Hey, man. Listen, we have a very recent example of his deft touch and skill, and that is the demotion of Ian Happ from the leadoff spot.
Yes.
There's an Ian Happ now who is kicking ass and, you know, having a great attitude down at 7 or 6 or 5.
And the two guys that he's put at 1 have had a great attitude about it.
Has anybody made an out yet at the top?
I don't think so.
Did Nico get on to start yesterday's game? Because against the Yankees, it was Nico with a triple on Saturday. It was Bush with a homer on Sunday. And then Bush with a walk on Friday, and he scored. Bush with a homer on Saturday. What did Nico do yesterday?
He singled.
Yeah. So nobody has made an out yet in the leadoff spot since he demoted Ian Happ.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The wait is finally over. Ready or Not is available now on consoles. Become an elite SWAT commander and feel the weight of the badge. The immersive cult classic is now on its way to more players than ever before. Coming this summer for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series XS. Get ready for 18 high-stakes missions, solo or with up to 5 players in co-op. Clear rooms, protect civilians, make split-second calls, and join the tactical shooter community. With countless ways to set up your loadouts and gear, no mission is the same. And with full crossplay,
your team can suit up no matter what system they're on. So, if you're into tactical gameplay and intense high-stakes action, Ready or Not is the must-play tax shooter this summer. Available now on PlayStation, Xbox, and PC.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.